Welcome back to the National Football Post College Corner Podcast. I'm Bob Boland, professor of sports management at New York University. Today we're going to turn our attention to the victors, who unfortunately have not been the victors enough lately, the University of Michigan Wolverines. We don't know for sure whether the Vultures are circling around Ann Arbor, but it certainly looks like that's a possibility, as Rich Rodriguez may have trouble from the NCAA and even more trouble in losses in five of his last six games after a 4-0 start. I'm joined, as always, in the College Corner by Wes Bunting, our expert on the draft and all things personnel. Wes, welcome.
How you doing, Bob?
Well, it's good to talk to you. We don't know what's going to happen to Rich Rodriguez, but this would be the first time since 1962 and 63, if Michigan were to lose to Ohio State, that they would be bowl ineligible in consecutive seasons. We know that the NCAA is investigating claims against Rodriguez, and we've heard from sources that they probably are a little worse than we initially heard. Add to that, Michigan's athletic director, Bill Martin, has resigned, and we may be in a kind of an interesting limbo with Michigan, where alumni may be ready to give up on the Rodriguez experiment, administration may be ready to give up on the Rodriguez experiment, and there may be no one to hire the replacement, as it turns out. So, let me ask you the first question. What do you think the odds of Rich Rodriguez coming back at Michigan are?
Well, there's so many variables that go into that right now, Bob. But I think the biggest point that you brought up, we're waiting for Rodriguez to get his recruits in, to start playing his system, to be more content. The guy has one win in the Big Ten this season. He's on the fringe of not being bowl eligible. We've seen him get beat up, his defense giving up a ton of points the last 4 weeks, opposing offenses averaging over 39 points against this year. We've seen he's not going to be able to send many guys in the pro game this year, ruining some of the prospects. Opposing colleges like Ohio State, like the Iowas of the world, using that spread offensive against him in recruiting. And I just think this is a vicious downhill cycle that Michigan and their coordinators and everyone there that are making the decisions are going to want to get out of pretty quickly, especially when it comes to light of all the scuttlebug and some of the things that in the recruiting trails that have gone on. I just think it's a bad circle that they're getting into that they're going to want to have to cut off. So I'm thinking it's a pretty slim chance that Rodriguez comes back.
I tend to agree with you on that, and I think that the Michigan people have shown in this Big Ten season that the Rodriguez experiment, and not that Rodriguez is a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination, but one of the things that you look at with the spread that he runs, it's a little bit of a gimmick offense and a gimmick approach for a team that doesn't have size and power to match up against other teams. It's a little bit of a device that protects teams from being overmatched particularly. And Michigan is one of those teams that has always had the ability to recruit those players at wide receiver, offensive line, and quarterback to really be difference makers both at the college level and then at the NFL level. And the fact that Michigan hasn't scored much in the Big Ten is a real issue. And worse yet, you can look at their defense, which has averaged about 38 points a game and a number of bad, bad losses. So, is there talent on the field, or is this a problem that Rodriguez has really left the cupboard pretty bare both for himself and a potential successor?
Well, going into the year, when you see these guys, especially coming out of their high school trails, you look at a guy like Steve Schilling, started as a freshman, a right tackle as a sophomore, a 6'5", 310-pound guy, and you're thinking he's just going to make the progression over to the left side, be that blindside protector, protect the quarterback. However, Rodriguez sees the athletic guy, makes him lose some weight, kicks him inside the right right guard, and now you're wondering, you know, sure he's going to be a talented guard in the NFL, but this was a potential five-star left tackle that you had that Rodriguez sees in his system. Well, he's a better guard because of his athleticism. You have a guy like Brandon Miner, a talented, physical, instinctive back, 6'1", 220 pounds, can move the chains. However, Rodriguez doesn't like to run power down people's throats. Greg Matthews is another guy, the 6'3", 215-pound wideout. Sure, he's not Braylon Edwards or Ty Streets, but the guy's a legitimate draftable prospect, but he's gone by the wayside this year trying to run routes, play like a little man when he's a big physical guy that can work the middle of the field and get down, make some plays, high point the football. So the system that Rodriguez is running is kind of taken away. Sure, they have some talent there on both sides of the ball, but the system and the players that he needs and the players that he has doesn't match up at this time.
that's a terrific point. And you've got to think that the coaches from around the Big Ten that they're recruiting against and the national coaches who are recruiting against Michigan are whispering the loss of the tens of millions of dollars that a guy like Schelling or a guy like the wide receiver Matthews lost this year because of the style of play. If you're going to be a starting left tackle in the National Football League, you're going to average $10 million a year. To play guard, you're going to be down in that $2 million range if you're a star. So there's a big difference between being an average left tackle and playing in the NFL and being an average guard. And that's a real problem for Rodriguez because clearly Michigan has established itself as a destination for top pre-pro football talent. And that's not the case anymore, is it?
No, when you look at guys and you look at the past, the offensive linemen that Michigan has sent to the NFL, Jake Long, David Bass, Tony Pape, John Jansen, even if we go a bit old school and Steve Hutchinson, these are first-round caliber guys, can come in, they win starting jobs early in their careers, and they consistently play at a high level in the NFL. Now you're looking at the guys that they're trying to recruit instead of these 6'7", 325, 330-pound offensive linemen with big-time NFL potential. Rodriguez is recruiting guys 6'3", 275, 280 pounds that can get out in space, cut down defenders, and hopefully open up holes for his spread offense. They're not recruiting these big physical mauling type offensive tackles that project to the NFL. They're recruiting these undersized, you know, guys that can move, get out in space, that project well to a spread offense. The kind of guys that they're recruiting and that they've consistently been able to recruit don't want to come to these spread offense because it simply doesn't fit their physical skill set.
And the problem hasn't simply been limited to the offensive side of the ball. It's existing on defense too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. When we look back, I mean, the guys like Lamar Woodley, Leon Hall, these guys don't want to come anymore. You've seen the struggles that they've had, especially with this 3-4 defense. One of the most talented defensive ends in the nation this year, Brandon Graham, who is a legitimate first-round pick, has struggled a bit in this 3-4 defense where he's only 6'2", 263, has to try to eat up blocks. You look at the guy next to him, Ryan Vandenberg, 6'6", 261. If you want a 3-4 defense in college football, look no further than Alabama, where they have big physical guys, Brandon Dietrich, who's 6'4", 290 pounds, and they have the anchor inside in Terrence Cody, you know, 6'6", or whatever, 380 pounds. There's no guys like Alan Branch anymore. There's no guys like Gabe Watson clogging up that middle, and they've really struggled to find. They're trying to fit these square pieces into these circular holes. It's just not working for them, and that's why we've consistently seen these Big Ten offenses. I mean, not high-powered offenses either. The Purdue, the Indianas of the world, putting up big numbers on this defense.
This is a really big point, and particularly in the Big Ten, where controlling the football is sometimes as important as scoring, and Michigan isn't able to hold the ball either. Now, all Michigan fans probably are a little upset or will be a little more upset depending on the draft prospects of the one who got away, the quarterback Ryan Mallett, who transferred to Arkansas. What do you think about Mallett?
I absolutely love Ryan Mallett, Bob. The guy's physically as gifted as any quarterback in the country. 6'7", 240 pounds. Absolutely can make every throw needed in the NFL. He's getting better every week playing against the top competition in the SEC. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that this guy's going to be a better prospect than Chad Henne, than you look back, John Navarre, Elvis Gerback, Jim Harbaugh. This guy has the potential when he comes out to be the number one overall pick in the draft. And now you're looking at Michigan, the quarterbacks that they have now, Forcier and Robinson. They're not even in the same class. Sure, they fit Rodriguez's scheme a bit, but when you look at NFL potential, Ryan Mallett, this guy has the ability, if he were to come out this year, to rival Jake Locker, to rival Jimmy Clausen, Sam Bradford, as the number one overall pick. He's that physically gifted. And to think that Rodriguez just let him walk away and that he's doing as well as his first real year playing against SEC competition at Arkansas this year, it just makes you shake your head and boggle your mind with a guy that talented is able just to walk out the door.
It really makes you wonder about the scheme, whether a coach's scheme is worth more than having a stunning player like Ryan Mallett, who already proved he was pretty good in playing in place of the injured Chad Henne at Michigan as a true freshman, to be able to sit out and then go to Arkansas and play the way he has. That really has to stick in the craw of Michigan people, and you got to wonder if having this offense was worth it. Now, here's the real question, and I think Michigan, if you think back to the hiring cycle that got Rodriguez, he was really a bit of an afterthought. He really is the third choice in many ways, and not the third choice has always turned out badly, because Pete Carroll was the third choice in many ways, too. But Rodriguez came after Michigan had turned to, or expected to turn, to Les Miles, the LSU coach, and was rebuffed by a last-minute offer that LSU used to keep him. Then they supposedly turned to Rutgers coach Greg Schiano. Schiano supposedly accepted the job, came home to New Jersey, talked to his agent, got an extension at Rutgers, and decided to stay at Rutgers. Maybe a mistake for Schiano in the sense that he would at least fit the program. But Rodriguez really was never a good fit programmatically, either academically, socially. It just didn't seem like he was a good fit. Who do we think are good fits from a coaching personnel and scheme perspective for Michigan?
Well, right now, I think at the top of the list, you have to look at Jim Harbaugh and what he's done at Stanford, being able to recruit guys not only that fit his system, that are motivated self-starters that want to continue to develop and get better. You look at the beatdown he put on USC, running power right at him, and then developing an offensive line and a stud five-star quarterback in Andrew Luck. I'm sure he's going to get the same type of talent at Michigan, be able to find ways to win, manufacture points. I think this guy, his ability to not only draw up game plans and motivate his kids, I think he would be an ideal fit in the top of the list for Michigan, and he has to be the one, the first guy that they go after, don't you think?
He would definitely have to be the first guy you go after, particularly when you think about it wasn't all that long ago. He was wearing number three and playing quarterback, and really, in a way, starting that line of great Michigan quarterbacks that played under Bo Schembechler and then Lloyd Carr and Gary Moeller. So Harbaugh really has certainly taken the Michigan blueprint, too, for offense with a good, solid offensive line and a good quarterback and kind of traditional football, and played it in a place where it's hard to recruit and particularly hard sometimes to coach those players. So he's a great candidate. Another candidate worth talking about, and he should be on a couple of lists because he's done a great job at Ohio University, even though he plays a little bit of a spread principle offense, is Brian Kelly. Now, why is Kelly interesting to Michigan on some level is how dependent Michigan has been on Ohio talent in a number of years, and you kind of almost associate. I always talk about the rule of the three. If you think about three schools that are on your turf and you recruit the same players, it's hard for three schools on the same turf to be good simultaneously. And I don't think it's any accident that Kelly has upgraded Cincinnati and Michigan has downgraded simultaneous while Ohio State has sort of stayed at the top of the Big Ten. So does Kelly deserve a look in your mind?
I think he deserves from the recruiting standpoint that you brought up, but he doesn't strike me as a real motivator, and his offense, a bit of a gimmick, you know, they like to do the spread, and we saw what they had with Tony Pike and how efficient they were, but as soon as they bring in that quarterback that can scramble a bit, and Zach Kolaris, a six-foot guy who's a bit better of an athlete, how that offense has really taken off, and I think he's starting to tailor his offense a bit more to the more athletic quarterback, more the spread guy. They really don't have any offensive line prospects that are big-time guys at the next level as well. A bunch of guys who are tall, a bit undersized, athletic guys that can get out in space, cut down defenders. So I don't think Kelly, from a schematic standpoint, is the ideal fit, but you need to be able to recruit to win, and that's something he could be able to do. But I think there's guys out there that are a bit better fits than Kelly.
Kelly certainly is, at least unlike Rodriguez, shown some willingness to adapt his game to the personnel that he has. So that might make him a plus over Rich Rod right from the first day.
Absolutely.
Some other interesting candidates are some guys in the pros, and Michigan stayed away from those guys last time. Greg Madison is a former defensive coordinator at Michigan, longtime defensive line coach at Michigan. And if Michigan is looking for a stability hire, Madison turned 60 this year. He is the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, and that job usually seems to mark people for bigger and better things. Now, in the words of Bill Parcells, he'd be a hold-the-fort guy as a coach, but maybe Madison would be an interesting hire to stabilize things.
Yeah, I think what Madison would do, you know, you're going to get it on the defensive side of the ball. He's going to be aggressive, but he also, as all defensive coordinators like to do, control the clock, run power football right down your throat, work off the play-action game. So I think with you bring in a guy like that, he'd be able to generate pressure, create short fields, and you know you're not going to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. He's going to run power O, and I think that's a really intriguing part to Michigan and something that they've struggled consistently these last 2 years with Rich Rodriguez. As the weather gets colder and the conditions get worse, his offenses slowly start to go downhill a bit because they want to play in space, they want to throw the football around, get guys outside defenders, make people miss, and pick up yards after the catch. This way, this is a bona fide way when it gets chilly in Michigan, when you have to go on the road to Iowa, to Illinois, to Ohio State, this is a consistent way to run the football, keep your team in a chance to win. And we look at Jim Tressel's done at Ohio State these last couple weeks, taking the ball out of Terrell Pryor's hands, playing good defense and running the football. That's a pretty sound game plan of winning in the Big Ten, and that's what he'd be able to bring to Michigan.
There are a couple other coaches, and it's interesting because usually when Big Ten schools have looked to hire coaches in the past, they've almost always looked to the Mid-America Conference as their proving ground for future head coaches, whether it was Paul Brown or Woody Hayes, or even Bo Schembechler, who came out of Miami of Ohio, all to Michigan or Ohio State to go on to greatness. But right now, the big question is, a lot of coaches moved on to that league last year. Now, Brady Hoke is a former, at San Diego State, is a former Michigan assistant. Do you think he gets a look, or is he hurt by running that kind of same spread offense that he ran at Ball State last year?
Yeah, I think so many of these smaller school guys are trying to make up for a lack of talent, for a lack of recruiting. They go to this spread offense where they can, like we've seen Rich Rodriguez, where he's trying to make up for limitations that he has on the recruiting trail, even though he doesn't need to at Michigan. So I think that hurts his chances a bit. I think they go after a guy with a bit bigger of a name, more established either in the college or pro game. Maybe a guy like Mike Riley we talked about a little bit earlier at Oregon State. The guy's consistently been one of the guys under the weather. He has Canfield right now at quarterback, sent more to the pro, Anderson. He sent two quarterbacks to the NFL game, knows how to develop the position, runs the football, pretty good recruiter out in Oregon State. I think he'd be a really interesting guy at Michigan.
He may be a very interesting choice in Michigan, and under this circumstance, too. Winning at Oregon State is something nobody really had ever done. And Riley was able to do it and do it well and has maintained a pretty high level of success for a school that usually, along with Kansas State and Columbia, were some of the worst teams in Division I over a number of years. Suddenly he's really put them on the map and made them pretty competitive. So he'd be very interesting. He'd almost be, for lack of a better word, he'd be a professional college coach if you have to think of a better phrase for him, and that might be what Michigan should look for, kind of the way Lou Holtz was for Notre Dame at the right moment. This is a really interesting conversation, and I obviously our friend Mr. Rodriguez can fix some of this by beating Ohio State. Let's just talk very quickly about how their talent matches up.
Well, when you look, first off, I talked about this a couple minutes ago. I love what Ohio State has done in recent weeks after the big Purdue loss. Tressel looking at the tape and realizing we can't win with Terrell Pryor throwing the ball 25, 30 times a game. We need to be content to run the football, play field position, and then when need be, he can take a chance down the field, and he obviously has the athletic ability to buy time with his legs and pick up the first down. The true test, though, in this one is the talent of the Ohio State defensive line. Cameron Hayward, a 6'6", 290-pound defensive end who does a great job kicking inside in nickel situations and rushing the passer, as well as Thaddeus Gibson on the outside. Those two create a ton of pressure off the edge on third down situations, can consistently win one-on-one matchups and penetrate behind the line. Being able to stop those two will be the key for Michigan this week, and honestly, I don't think they have the talent on the offensive line to do so. 4CA has wilted in the face of pressure all season long. I just think you'll see tried and true Tressel pound the football, make enough plays in the pass game, and play enough disciplined defense to win this one. I think Michigan, because of the pride, because of trying to win one for the Gipper, will keep it close early. However, at the end, too much talent for Ohio State. I think they pull away in the second half.
Michigan's been a 20-point or a 3-touchdown loser to Illinois, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Will Ohio State be a third three-touchdown loss or a fourth three-touchdown loss?
You know, it looks that way, Bob. It really does. I think, like I said, they'll try to keep it close early. Maybe Rich Rodriguez has a couple tricks up his sleeve to make some plays in the pass game. Maybe they have some special packages for Robinson, bring him at quarterback. However, just too much talent for Ohio State in the second half. I think we'll just see this Michigan defense start to wilt a bit. I'm going to go with yes. We're going to see a large margin open up in the second half at some point. And I think what's that, six straight then for Ohio State?
That's six straight, and that's usually more than any one coach can bear in that rivalry. Certainly Jim Tressel has been owning Michigan over these years, and certainly this could be a real bad sign for the future of Rich Rodriguez in Ann Arbor. Wes, thank you again for your incredible insight. Again, we looked at Michigan this week, and I'm Bob Bolin, professor of sports management at New York University, the author of the Coaching Carousel column on National Football Post. We'll be with you next week to take a look at another school that's possibly thinking about making a coaching change or should be thinking about making a coaching change. Again, thank you for the National Football Post, and have a great week.